think, to be honest, in a world that are so full of toxic thoughts and things and cultures and sin and disruption and fear and disasters and sadness and despair, God is our light. And He is our salvation. I greet you in the name of our Father, who is the light, Jesus, who is the Redeemer and the salvation for us, and the Holy Spirit that convinces us that this is true. Amen. We are going to sing two verses of "To God Be the Glory." Well, I don't have anything in front of me. Let's try and see where we get. Let's stand and sing it together. I found it's a different way of looking at the Ten Commandments, and when you look through it and listen to it, you will see that there's a certain trend. Let me just read it to you, or you can read it for yourself, and then we can decide what we think about it. So it says something like when the first commandment of God says no God, other gods in front of Him, before Him, and then the implication is keep the main thing, the main thing. Don't let your phone, your follower count, or your obsession with status become the center of your universe. You see where they are going with this. Okay, the second one, it says, no idols. Protect your mental health from unrealistic standards. Stop worshipping highly filtered aesthetics, AI-perfected bodies, and lifestyle trends that tell you who you are supposed to be. Let it sink in. Okay, third one. Oorgats. Okay, there it is. Well, that was a quick one. Was it AI? AI, okay, good. Do not misuse God's name. It says, speak with cheapness. Speak with purpose, not cheapness. Do not use, heavy words like love, hate, or sacred things lightly, or just to get a reaction online. Treat your words as having real power. Let it sink in. Okay. The Sabbath, the Sunday, the rest day. Unplug and rest. We can stop there. Unplug and rest. You cannot be always on. Protect your peace by taking intentional screen-free breaks to rest your brain, sleep, and connect with the real world. I see some of you take photos. I will send it. Just ask me and I will send it to you. Okay, then the fifth one. Honor your father and your mother. I like this one. Respect your roots. Respect your roots. Even when they don't get it. Show grace to your parents or guardians. They are trying to navigate a wildly different world than the one they grew up in. It's not easy, but respect their efforts. Sixth one, do not murder. Do not destroy someone's spirit. You don't need a weapon to kill someone. You can do it with a text, a leaked photo, or cancellation campaign. Guard other people's dignity. Well, let it sink in. And then do not commit adultery. Keep relationships honest and safe. Treat romance and intimacy with respect. Don't exploit someone's trust. Use people for validation or share private moments that aren't yours to share. Okay, we've got it. Don't steal. Respect ownership. Physically and don't pirate creative work, copy someone else's code, or writing using AI and call it yours, or take credit for ideas that aren't yours. In the academic world, this is a crisis at this moment, because they struggle really to realize whose work is whose work, who should get the credit for it, and probably the one that asks the right questions. Then I almost said chapter 9, but the ninth one, do not lie, false witnesses. Check your facts before you hit share. Don't spread rumors, fuel deep fake misinformation, or pass along gossip just because it's dramatic or gets views. And then the last one, run your own race. Comparison is the thief of joy. Don't stare at someone else's created highlight reel or social media and feel bitter about your own behind-the-scenes life. I think this is a different approach to what we normally realize about the Ten Commandments and this world that we suddenly live in. And I think the Word of God, and that is what we always believe, and that is true about the Word of God, that it is that it always has something to say. Doesn't matter in what era of life we are living in. It's always true in terms of our understanding. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful moment this morning, your presence, the presence of our fellow worshippers and the Holy Spirit, your guidance. Thank you for your word and your words, and that we can sing and praise you for who you are. Thank you for this day that we can unplug, hopefully, totally, and to focus on what is the real things and keep the real things real. Father, we thank you for moments like these, and we pray that you will just bless us with our meeting and our moment of fellowship this morning. And we pray that you will help us to distinguish about what is wrong and what is right, about true and false. Help us with our decisions and what we make every single day of our lives. Please bless us and guide us this morning when we are going to explore a few words out of Scripture. This we pray in your name. Amen. So, this morning we are going to spend some time in the exact book that I cannot pronounce. Deuteronomy, what was that? Deuteronomy. Okay, fantastic. Deuteronomy, and chapter 30, verse, it's just two verses. But it's an I think it's important chapter to read. Where Moses, it's some of the last words of Moses before his death, and he has this long last song that he wrote in chapter 32. But here it's the end, the end of his life, and he's looking back at every single thing in his life, and then he just wants to say something before his death. And then he says, life is about life and death. And the verse says, verse 19 in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, he says, this day I call the heavens. This is chapter 30, verse 19. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. That is what we're going to spend time on. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. And that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you, give to your fathers, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. So if we can say the context is, now choose life. For the Lord is your life. I want to show you something. In the country music world, not that I am really a fan of country music. The old ones I like. But there are a few titles of country music. I don't know why I do this, but okay. The one is, and I think it follows, this is what I would say this today is I'm living and dying with the choices I make. But I think there's a list of it. The first one says, may the bird of paradise fly up your nose. Do you know that song? I suppose it shouldn't make sense in any way, but may the bird of paradise fly up your nose. Then the other one is, you can't roller skate a buffalo herd. Okay. Because you can't, okay? And then this one, I got tears in my ears while lying on my back thinking about you. I didn't listen to all of them, but how what? And then this one. How can I miss you if you won't go away? This is a nice one. How can I miss you if you won't go away? And then this one. Keep forgetting I forgot about you. Keep forgetting I forgot about you. Okay, this one. This is nice. If the phone don't ring, baby, you know it's me. Yeah, that's a nice one. But the one that I really like, Ray Stevens. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. You remember that one? Why I say it is, it brought me to a Ray Stevens. No, sorry, not him. George Jones, I want to tell actually his story. He was a country singer, and he was great in many ways, but he really struggled in many ways with his life, and especially with, and his songs was about heartbreak and drinking and regret, and he really struggled with alcohol in his life. And then he had a huge accident with his car while driving under the influence. He was critically injured, hospitalized, but he survived. And after this accident, the whole trend and the whole theme of the music he made changed dramatically. So just after this accident, he recorded a new album, Cold Hard Truth. And he won a few rewards for, got a few rewards for this album. But the signature song of this album was about choices. Choices. And one of a single part of that song is, I am living and dying with the choices I make and made. I am living and dying with the choices I made. So that brought me to this stupid themes that they sing about. But this is what Jones sing about, the choices I've made. And life is difficult. We know it. And unexpected things are happening in our lives, and sometimes it's out of control. And I think the world is cruel in many ways. And therefore, our choices are very important. Our choices. And God gave us, and in the beginning, and still giving us choices. And to choose is one of the wonderful, wonderful gifts that we receive from God. And the problem of humanity started off with wrong choices, with Adam and Eve in the garden. And that choices and that they made separated them from God and creation in a certain sense. So the whole story about the fall was about choices. Wrong choices. But there was this option to take a different choice and to choose differently. And this is what Moses is doing in chapter 30. He says, choose right about life. Choose life. Choose to live. Last words of him, choose life. And there are so many choices we make every single moment of our lives. I mean, you can sit, you can choose to listen or not. You can choose what you will wear and where you go. You can choose your thoughts. So every single moment, and it can damage, and it can be create destruction, or it can be all about life. And one of the biggest sort of choices we make in our lives in general is three of them. And I thought about it, and I thought, is this really true? Are these three one of the most important ones? And they say, well, I also sometimes use AI just to listen what they say. And they said, yes, that's not all, but it's important. What kind of work I will do? With who will I spend my life with? Who will I marry or not? Where will I live? And I thought to myself, is this it? So it's my work, my partner, my place. And I thought to myself, but when you spend some time with real elderly people, the end of their lives, a woman and an auntie, just listen to what they will tell you. What they have done, they will tell you about their partners, and they will tell you about the place where they stayed or lived. So that is just what they do. And so this was therefore it's important choices, because my workplace defines how I contribute. But more than that, what sort of person will I be in that workplace? It is scary to think that between 13 and 19% of your whole lifespan you will spend at work. Not just in the 40 years that you were living. I mean, it's your whole lifespan. It's massive. So what sort of person will I be, will I choose to be at work? The same thing with marriage or not, the choice I make. How will I love? How will I care? How will I grow with this person into my life? Or the place is where I root myself, root my soul. Where do I belong? Some people will stay in Namibia for 60 or 70 years, but are originally from, let's say, Morocco. But they will always write, I'm from Morocco, or I'm from Zimbabwe, or I'm from Scotland, I'm from Ireland or Russia. It is rooted in you, the place where you think you are rooted. So this is the whole thing about the first choice, is the kind of work I do. For some people, work is, well, some people are just longing to have a work. Some people that have a work are just longing to retire. And some people regret the moment they retired. So we can go on. Some people made some choices in their lives around their careers, and they regret some of the choices they made. But when you decide what sort of work you want to do, and there's no choices. It depends on what subjects you will take at school, what university you'll go, or college, or whatever education you need. So there are huge choices to make. It's the same thing with the person you want to spend your life with. It's a massive, massive choice to make. It's real difficult to do so. And it's not just to spend some time with that person and to make decisions with that person, but also how do we share a common goal, a common purpose, in the same direction to say we will serve God and we'll serve Christ. And so then probably most of the time there are children within such a marriage. And then, so how are we going to spend some time and even taking our children on this journey with a common focus? And that we read in Joshua 24, that very familiar verse that says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So that was a very important choice that Joshua made in terms of his family. But it's the same thing where I live. And where will I live? Because where I live, it's a place where I become part of a community or not. There are municipality, and there are weather, and there are ecological systems where I live. And it's a sad story when Abram and his brother's child Lot came to a certain point, and God says, "Okay, now you each one of you can choose where you are going to live." And obviously, Lot, he was the youngest guy, and like young people, he chose this beautiful scenery, knowing that Sodom and Gomorrah were part of that scenery. And then Uncle Abram, he was left with what was left. And so it's more a desert sort of scenery, and it ended all very, very disastrous for Lot and his family because of the choices he made. But there are more choices than just the place we stay, the person we spend our life with, or the work we do. The question is, whose voice will I follow in this world? There are a massive amount of voices we hear every single day. And you have to choose the right one in this massive amount of information we receive. What sort of disciple will I be? What sort of influence does all these voices have on me? And what sort of worldview is out there? And how will I follow this? What or who will I worship? And who will be my ultimate guide in this world? How will I respond to all the grief and suffering and mortality in this world? So that these questions are more sincere about the choices of life. A life before Christ, a life before God, established by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, the question is, will I live a life of obedience to the Word of God, to myself? And this is one of the things I think we are so deceived by this world that we live in, that everything seems so good, so right, but and perfect in a certain sense. But isn't it my will in the end of it that I follow. And then for every single moment of our lives, in this massive amount of voices, it is a challenge of the children of God to hear God's voice. To hear God's voice. And how will I make honest, ethical choices every single day? Is it my trend to always take just the shortest way out, the easiest ways out? How do I approach life? Will I do life God's way or my own way? Will I follow my fleshly nature or will I follow the Holy Spirit? In Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" And that is the choice we have in this world. Do I really want to follow Jesus? Do I really want to apply His word into my life? To choose my sort of self-will, my life surrounded around a center that I call myself, is dangerous. It's really dangerous because it will end up in some toxic, disastrous end. So am I the sole navigator of my life? Or do I allow God really to come into my life and guide it in a direction that gives life, not just to myself, but life around us, around me? And then there is this choice to make, to have a spiritual growth, or I end up with some sort of a spiritual disease. Now, I don't know English that well, but disease is a spiritual disease is when I am at dis-ease with God. When I am in a moment of dis-ease with myself and my relationship with God. That is a disease. That is a toxic thing in my life. And when we do go through a spiritual transformation, it's not just something that happens one day. It is a process of seeking and choosing and looking out for God's grace and His love and His salvation. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge." But grow. That is a command. That is grow. Do something about the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. But it started off with, but grow. And therefore, there are certain spiritual disciplines that we can choose. We can choose to be here this morning. We can choose to take out my Bible and read it and to apply it into my life and my work and my marriage and how I drive and whatever it is. So get back to the Word of God. That is a choice. And you can develop a sort of discipline to walk with Christ and choose how I pray and bring the prayers in front of God. We've received, I can't remember if Alma attached it to the email that was sent out this week, but there's this wonderful thing that I've read. We received an email from Ukraine, one of the churches in Ukraine, and they gave us some sort of a summary of what happened in the past year and so on. And it's so wonderful to see how that church grew within that circumstances. But one of the things that I want to say two things. There are a massive amount of young people going into ministry in Ukraine. It's just, what? Can you believe it? And the second one is, there's a little town bombed almost destroyed. And what they do, and they committed, they chose to do the following. They pray for 500 soldiers by name every day. Can you just imagine? So that's a choice. It's a discipline within this horrific scenario around them to pray for 500 soldiers by name. And that's a choice. But it gives life to this little town that seems to be destroyed by a war. And how do I choose to apply my gifts and my talents within this community of brothers and sisters of faith? And I can choose to be and be part of a church or a congregation or fellowship. I can choose it. That is part of my growth, my process of growth. So when we speak about growth, it is intentional. You choose to grow. You enter the place where you can grow. So how do I live? Just for myself? Is it everything just about myself? The younger people will know these people, but Beyonce, she has a song with the title, Me, Myself, and I. And Pink has a song, I'm a Hazard to Myself. So maybe we should learn and realize that is not what it is. That is not what it is about. It is about Christ in my life. Because Jesus says in Mark 8:34, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It's not about myself. So that is something that I should choose in my life. It's not about me. It's about you and them, about Christ, about God. In Philippians 2, Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. It's difficult, but it's a choice that we can make every single day in our lives. And in this culture around us, a worldly culture with all these voices that I've said in 1 Peter 4, he says, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Frick it, ek weet nie wat daai goed is, maar klink rof. That is, he says, you've been there. It's done. Get over it. Get something new. Because there's a worldly system that pulls us off, that wants to enslave us to be part of it. And it is I think the evil deceive us because it's so beautiful and we become in a subtle way part of it. But there's a moment that I choose not to be part of it. I cannot be part of these pleasures of this world and the distraction of this world. Because anything that doesn't focus on Christ, what is that? Where does it take me in my life? And therefore, I choose to be different. Moses came to an important decision in his life, and it cost him. The same Moses that wrote here. Because he they saved him at that river. He became part of an Egyptian family, not just an Egyptian family, but the palace. The head of the massive, powerful Egyptian life, education, money, everything, just wonderful. But he chose not to be there. He chose to leave palace, go and watch over the sheep and save a nation. Hebrews 11 says something about it, and it's an interesting verse. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Have you read that in the Bible? He refused to be part of it. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Interesting. Now he writes about it at the end of his life, choose life. Choose life. And therefore, some of us are are experiencing our lives, and we, when we look back at our lives, we realize that we made some wrong choices. Maybe I'm still suffering because of it. But we cannot stay in the past. We cannot stay there regretting all the bad choices. We can choose to leave it and to choose a new life. I want to close off with the story of Elijah. When he was with the pagan prophets, at the end in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If it is the Lord, follow him. But if it's Baal, follow him." And then there's this little sentence. But the people said nothing. But the people said nothing. I bring you before a choice between this pagan God and the real God. You just saw what God does. In that altars and offers that they did. Now you can choose. But the people said nothing. I think that is a dangerous thing in life, that it's not just what you say, it's when you say nothing. When there is opinion and you say nothing. When there is indifference, you say nothing. When there is pain and dishonesty, and you say nothing. And I think sometimes this is the biggest choice that we should make in church. Is this a choice just to be silent? We see sometimes my husband or my wife or my children are busy with the wrong things or making wrong choices, and we just say nothing. You see or you hear certain things that's happening at schools, and you say nothing. You can see the injustice, you say nothing. You can see someone is crying, and you just do nothing. You can see someone is being bullied, and you say nothing. Your mother is somewhere in an old age home, and you say nothing. Not even good night, mother. To say nothing is one of the worst choices we can make as Christians. Maybe it is time to say something, at least. And it starts off with the family. Say something to them. Just do not say nothing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this lesson. And may we choose today again who we will serve. In this world, there are so much desires and beautiful things and options, fleshly, wonderful things that we can adore. But Father, help us to choose the right thing to do. It's you. You are the life. You are the light. You are the Redeemer. You are our salvation. You are the rock. Therefore, we come to you, Father, and we listen to your words, because your word is never silent. It's always saying something to us to make a choice. Therefore, we pray, Father, for those who struggle due to wrong choices, and we pray that you will help each one of us in this process of growth. Thank you for our congregation. Thank you for the work that we can do. Thank you for our ministries. We thank you that we can pray for every single one that is suffering due to loss and pain and physical health crises. We pray this morning especially for Jack and so many others. We pray for the Buta family while they are still very sad about Uncle Jimmy. Therefore, Father, we pray that you will just bless us and help us to choose life. We pray that you will bring peace over this world as well. We see all the pain, the killings, the disruption and the disasters, we pray, Father, peace is what we are longing for. We pray for our marriages. We pray for our little children, those who are in school. We pray for those who are suffering due to all this financial crises we have. We pray for our elderly people. We pray, Father, please bless us and give us life. In your name, amen. Let's offer back to God. Pray. Father, thank you for the ability to offer. Thank you for this offering, and we pray that you will bless it. Father, that this money will help us to be church. We pray that it will add value to every single ministry so that we can bring the Word of God into this world. And that this is our prayer this morning. Please bless our office. Please bless our team that is working with the money. And we pray, Father, that you will send us blessings into the world, the context around us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Baie dankie. Kom ons probeer maar nou nog 'n bietjie. Ja. Okay. We are going to sing Nearer, My God, to Thee. I think the hymn originated there in that chapter where Jacob saw the ladder and this meeting with God and the choice just to be near God. And that's what we choose this day as well. Let's stand and sing it together. So when God bless us, it is to make the right choices and to be close to Him. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.